All right, well, I do not have a Mother's Day sermon this year, but I do have a short tribute to the holiday itself, which I'll share before we dive into the sermon. So this is like a two-for-one Sunday. And a number of years ago, you may recall that I did give a brief history to Mother's Day and thought it might be good to do some of that again. Some of that information I found to be kind of interesting, and I had actually forgotten almost all of it. And I even had a hard time finding this stuff, but I did. And so here we go in its newly revised form. The first attempts to establish a Mother's Day in the United States came from the women's peace groups in the mid-1800s. And it was common for mothers to organize support groups during the Civil War, and these were called peace groups. And they were designed to offer hope and comfort for those whose sons were in battle or who had died in battle. In fact, some of these groups consisted of moms whose sons were fighting on opposite sides. Interesting. And many of the peace groups continued even after the war. In 1868, this would be a few years after the Civil War, a woman named Anne Jarvis created a committee to establish a Mother's Friendship Day, the purpose of which was to reunite families that had been divided by the war. And this was more or less a one-time thing, but it did contribute to the eventual observance of an annual Mother's Day. So I did some digging and found this picture of her, Anne Marie Jarvis. Where would we be without Google? Again, second time today, to find pictures of elderly women in the 1800s. But there you have it. Now, apparently she was a committed Christian who was quite active in her church, active in her faith. She definitely had a desire to serve and show compassion to the suffering. For instance, during the war, she had organized Mother's Day work clubs for the purpose of improving sanitation and health for both Union and Confederate encampments that were undergoing a typhoid outbreak. And then after the war, she wanted to expand this into an annual memorial for mothers who had lost sons to that particular disease. But she died in 1905 before that really ever got any momentum. And this is where her daughter comes into the picture, because she continued the efforts of her mother. And we have a picture of her. Her name is Anna Marie Jarvis. So they're similar names, kind of hard to keep straight. And we'll be coming back to her in a moment. During the 1870s and 1880s, there were several attempts by a number of folks to set aside a day in which to honor moms. And most of these were attempts to honor the moms who had lost sons in the battle. But none of these observances really gained much traction beyond the local level. And also going on at that time were numerous efforts to promote other kinds of observances and celebrations. There were efforts to promote something called Children's Day, Temperance Sunday, Roll Call Day, Decision Day, Missionary Day, and more. And so Mother's Day was just kind of lost in this whole mix. In New York City, a community activist named Julia Howe led a Mother's Day for Peace anti-war demonstration in June of 1872, which was accompanied by a Mother's Day proclamation. The observance continued for a few years. It died out. And what is significant about this is that this Mother's Day was about protesting war rather than comforting or honoring those moms who had suffered from the war. And I suppose that this effort died out because during the 1870s, there was no war to protest against. A few years later, on May 13th, 1877, at the Methodist Episcopal Church in Albion, Indiana, not far from here, something happened during a Sunday morning sermon that started the annual observance at that particular church. And this, too, makes a contribution to our current holiday. According to local legend, I love this story, the Reverend Myron Daugherty was so emotionally distraught that Sunday that he simply could not finish his sermon. He was beside himself because the night before, an anti-temperance group had forced his son to get drunk in a local saloon. I didn't know that there were anti-temperance groups, but this whole picture is very humorous to me. So a mother named Juliet Blakely seized the opportunity, stepped up to the pulpit, took over the service, and called on mothers to join her in the war against booze, to join the temperance movement. And in the years that followed, to honor that momentous event, the church in Albion set aside the second Sunday in May to recognize the special contributions mothers had in the temperance campaign. So as you can see, things have now moved from supporting moms who had lost sons in the Civil War to reuniting families divided by that war to protesting war to now protesting alcoholic beverages. The present form of Mother's Day, a day to simply recognize mothers, motherhood, and maternal bonds in general, as well as to recognize the positive contributions that mothers make to society, rather than a campaign for political causes, can be traced to Anna Jarvis. So back to her, the daughter there on your right. She is often referred to as the mother of Mother's Day. However, she was not a mother herself. In fact, she never married. Anna was instrumental in having it celebrated for the first time in 1908 at Andrews Methodist Church in West Virginia, and from there campaigned to make it an official state holiday, which West Virginia did in 1910. And then, on May 8, 1914, because of her efforts, the U.S. Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as a national holiday. And President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation declaring the first Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose sons had died in war. All right, so the commercialization of the American holiday began very early. Only 9 years after the first official Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis herself became a major opponent of what the holiday had become, spending all of her inheritance and the rest of her life fighting the way Mother's Day had been exploited by advertisers and retailers. She adamantly opposed the selling of greeting cards and candy and other merchandise for the occasion, saying, quote, "A printed card means nothing except that you are too lazy to write to the woman who has done more for you than anyone in the world." And she goes on, and candy, you take a box to mother and then eat most of it yourself. A pretty sentiment. In fact, in 1948, not that long ago, few folks here were alive then. In 1948, she was arrested for disturbing the peace while protesting against the commercialization of Mother's Day, and told the media that she had now regretted her efforts in making it a national holiday, for it had gotten way out of control. And this was 70 years ago. Think how she would react today. All right, so she died later that year. Presently, Mother's Day is one of the most commercialized holidays in America. It is the most popular day of the year to dine out at a restaurant and generates a significant profit for, of course, the jewelry industry, greeting card companies, and florists. According to the National Retail Association, Americans will spend over $23 billion for the observance of today, Mother's Day, 2018. Ironically, the fact that it was so easily and quickly commercialized actually served as one of the factors that ensured its survival and popularity. Other holidays of that same time period, like Children's Day and Temperance Day, that would have been more difficult to commercialize, you know, are no longer celebrated and have long been forgotten. I mean, how would Hallmark sell cards for Missionary Sunday? What would that look like? All right, so there you have it, a 10-minute history of Mother's Day, and all this time we thought it was something that Hallmark cards invented. So that's the history. So I'll give you a moment here. We're going to swap the CDs.